B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Chof Tes. We're going to start from the Mishnah, approximately two-thirds from the top of the Omid, of Daf Chof Ches Omid base. Says the Mishnah, Kol Shivas Hayomim, the 7 days, the duration of Sukkahs, Odom Oise Sukosoi, a person should make his Sukkah Keva as the main place, his main base of residence. Ubeise Arai, and his home should just be temporary. You have to go into your home to fetch something, to do something, but your residence in your home should be temporary relative to your dwelling in your Sukkah. Continues the Mishnah, Yorudu Gushomim, if it rains on Sukkahs, it's clearly a sign of some curse. It's so clearly something's not right. Hashem has told you to go into the Sukkah, and now comes the rain and says, out you go, you can't be in the Sukkah. But at what point are you exempted from Sukkah? From what point are you allowed to leave the Sukkah and take whatever's in the Sukkah into the house? From the time that the porridge would get ruined from the amount of rain that's falling through the schach. Moshlu moshel, if it rains on Sukkahs, it's analogous to Lamadov Adoimer. It's compared to Le'eved Shebo Limzoi Kois L'Rabbi. If a slave comes and he's asked to pour a cup of wine for his master, V'shofach Le'kitun Alponov, and he pours the pitcher of wine into his face, and we'll see in the Gemara who's pouring the wine into whose face. Is it the master who's pouring it back into the slave's face, or is it a sign that the slave is not serving his master the way he should, and it's as if the slave is pouring the water, the wine, into his master's face? Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Kol Shivas Hayomim, the 7 days of Sukkos, Adam Oise Sukkos, Ikva, his home, his Sukkah should be his main base, his fixed base, Ubeise Aroi, and his home should be temporary. Ketzad, how do you make your Sukkah into your Keva, into your fixed base of dwelling and residence over Sukkos? Hoyuloi Kelim Noim, if he had nice utensils in his house, Ma'alon L'Sukkah, take them up to the Sukkah. The reason we're going to see all over that a Sukkah is up, you go up to the Sukkah, you go down from the Sukkah, as we've seen previously, that people make their Sukkahs on the roofs. Matzois Nois, if a person has nice linens, Ma'alon L'Sukkah, take them up to the Sukkah. Oichel V'Shoisa, he should eat and sleep in the Sukkah. Or Matayel, and he should stroll in the Sukkah, he should relax in the Sukkah, What would be the source for this? The Tanur Rabbanon, we learnt in another Braisa, that the Pasuk says, Basukah is Teishu Shivas Yomim. You should sit, you should rest, you should be dwelling in the Sukkah for 7 days. Ke'en Toduru, you should sit in the Sukkah in the same way as you normally would in your house. Mikan Omru, and this was the source to what the Chachomim said, Kol Shivas Yomim Oise Odom Sukkos Ikva Ubeisei Arei. Ketzad, how would he do this, says the Braisa? Hoyuloi Kelim Noim, if he has nice utensils, Ma'alon L'Sukkah, take them up to the Sukkah. Matzois Nois, if he has nice linen, Ma'alon L'Sukkah, take them up to the Sukkah. Oichel V'Shoise, he should eat and sleep in the Sukkah, or Matayel B'Sukkah, and he should relax and stroll around in the Sukkah. And here the Braisa adds in, U'Meshanein B'Sukkah, and when he's analyzing his learning, then he should do that B'Sukkah, he should also do that in the Sukkah. Asks the Gemara, Eini, Va'omar Rava, did Rava not say Mikra or Misna, just reading the Chumash and reading and learning something which is effortless, that you do b'metalalto in the Sukkah, but analyzing learning, which is a more in-depth and strenuous type of learning, bar metalalto, that you should do outside the Sukkah, or he's allowed to do it outside the Sukkah if doing it in the Sukkah is going to be a challenge for him and difficult for him. If he's mitztayer, because he's doing it in the Sukkah, he needs the fresh air, he needs the breadth of mind and not be secluded inside the Sukkah, then he's allowed to go outside the Sukkah. So you see here that it seems to be a contradiction. Do we say that analyzing and a more challenging type of learning is done in the Sukkah, Umashanin B'Sukkah, or is it done outside the Sukkah, Usnuya Barmi B'Taralta? Says the Gemara Lo Ikasha, it's not a contradiction. Ha B'Migras, Even the more analytical type of learning, not just the reading of the text, which is called mikra or misna, which is everybody agrees you do b'metalalta in the sukkah, but even the more in-depth learning, there's different types. There's the more easier type, which is just reviewing what you've already learnt, and that you can do inside the sukkah, and that's what it means umashanin b'sukkah. But when you're still analyzing and things are not really clear yet, and you're still toiling hard at making sense of what you're learning, that indeed can be done outside the sukkah because it's more challenging. Ki had Rabbi Bar Choma, ki havu kaima mikamed Rav Chisda. When Rabbi Bar Choma was before Rav Chisda, merati b'gemara b'hadi adadi, then they would first just run through the Gemara in a very easier form. V'hodu ma'ayinu b'svara, and then they would delve into the logic. So you see that learning has the two stages. It has an easier type and a more challenging type. So too, when it comes to the sukkah, the easier type can be done in the sukkah, the more challenging type could possibly be done outside the sukkah. Omar Rava, moni mushasya, the drinking utensils, the cups, b'mataralta, even after you're finished drinking, you can leave them in the sukkah, because they're not repulsive. Moni michla, however, the bowls and the utensils used for eating, and they get dirtied one's eating them. Bar mitalalta, when you're finished using them, they should be removed from the sukkah. Chatzva v'shochil, jugs and pails, bar mitalalta, they don't belong in the sukkah, they should be outside the sukkah. V'shraga, and a lamp, b'mitalalta, in contrast to the utensils, that whilst you're using them, they can be in the sukkah. When you're finished with them, remove them from the sukkah. The lamp, it's the opposite. We're afraid whilst you're using it that the lamp may burn the sukkah, and therefore it should not be brought into the sukkah. We'll see that in a minute. V'shraga b'mataralta, in one source it says that the lamp can be brought in the sukkah. V'omri lo, in a different place it says, bar m'mataralta, the lamp should be outside the sukkah. V'lo pligi, they're not arguing, ha b'sukkah g'dayla, ha b'sukkah k'tana. In a large sukkah, there a lamp is not going to burn, is not going to be a danger, is not going to risk burning the sukkah, you can bring the lamp into the sukkah. In a very small sukkah of 7x7 tefachim, you're not allowed to bring the lamp in because we're afraid it will burn the sukkah down. Continues the Gemara, Yordu Gashomim, we saw in the Mishnah that at some point when it's raining, a person is exempt from sukkah, he can leave the sukkah. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Mishatisrach HaMakpeh Shel Grisin, when a porridge made of grisin, of barley, gets ruined, at that point you know that you can leave the sukkah. Abaya ki ava Yosef kameidu Rav Yosef b'metalalta. Abaya was sitting before Rav Yosef in the sukkah. Noshav zika, and it was raining. V'komaisi tzivso. And the little bits of schach were falling down because of the wind. The schach was falling down onto them. Omalu Rav Yosef said to them, Pnuli moni, you can remove my utensils from the sukkah, we're going down to the house. Mehocha, Pnuli moni mehocha, take my utensils down from here, we're going into the house. Omale Abaya asked Rav Yosef, Vatnan, did we not learn in the Mishnah, Mishatisra chamakpo, that you can only leave the sukkah when the porridge would get ruined? Omar Le, Rav Yosef said to him, Ludidi, somebody like me, given the anine datoi, I'm a very particular type of person, a very fussy type of person. Kamisha tisrach hamakpe domili. This point with the schach falling down on me, this is already bad enough for me. It's enough challenging for me as if the porridge would get ruined and I can leave the sukkah. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Hoya oichel basukkah, if somebody was eating in the sukkah. V'yordu gashomim, and it started raining. V'yorad, and he went down from the sukkah in order to finish eating in his house. And then when he sat down to finish his meal, it stopped raining. At that point, ein matrichin oisoi lalis, we don't trouble him to have to go back up into the sukkah, at yigmar sudosa, until he finishes his meal. He's allowed to continue and finish his meal in the house, and only then go back into the sukkah. Hoyo yoshin tachas ha-sukkah. If somebody was sleeping under the schach, which means in a sukkah, v'yorodu geshomim, it started raining, v'yorad, and he went into the house. Ein matrichin oisei lalois, then even though the rain stopped, we do not trouble him to have to go back into the sukkah, ad sheyo'er. And this is interesting. What does the word yo'er mean? Yo'er could be written with an aleph, yo'er could be written with an ayin. If it's written with an aleph, it means when it becomes light. And that's a little bit after Alois HaShachar. Alois HaShachar is just the very first point when the sun starts rising. Yo'er means it's already brighter. Yo'er with an ayin means when a person wakes up, which means we don't need to wake him up, wait till he wakes up. Well, what does it mean? When the Braisa says, Ein matrichin oisei lalois, we don't trouble him to go back to the sukkah, ad sheyo'er. Does it mean when it starts getting light, when it's light? Iboyeluhu, that was the question in the Gemara. Ad sheyo'er, are we supposed to read it with an ayin, which means until he wakes up, or ad sheyo'er, or till it gets light? Which at this point, it means, ad sheyo'er means amud ha-shachar. Alois ha-shachar. Says the Gemara, Toshima. We're going to try and bring proof. It says in a brisa, ad sheyo'er, that he doesn't need, we don't trouble him to go up to the sukkah, ad sheyo'er v'yale amud ha-shachar, until it gets light, and amud ha-shachar. And now over here, tarti, how do we reconcile both of these terms together? Getting light and amud ha-shachar. It gets light later after the time called amud ha-shachar. So, and these two are a contradiction. So we have to, it must be that in this brisa, in the second brisa, Elo'ema, we have to read, Achayoyer, until he wakes up, V'yale Amud HaShachar. If he wakes up in the middle of the night, he doesn't need to go back up. If it gets light, we don't need to wake him up. If he woke up and it's already after Amud HaShachar, then he has to go back up into the sukkah. And since this is what it must mean here, then in the previous brisa, when it says, Hoyoshin b'sukkah v'yorodu geshomim v'yered ein matrichin oisei lalois ad sheyo'er, what it means is, until he wakes up, and it's after Alois HaShachar. Continues the Gemara, Moshe l'moad avadoyme, the Mishnah said that if it rains in the middle of sukkahs, it's analogous to somebody who's a slave who's bringing his master a cup of wine, and it's being thrown back into his face. Iboyeluhu, the Gemara is asking, Mi shofach l'mi? Who is throwing the wine at who? Is it that Hashem is saying, come to the sukkah, and then Hashem is throwing the water, so to speak, throwing the wine back at us? He wants us to serve him, and he's throwing it back at us, saying, I don't want your service. Is that what it means? Or the fact that it's raining and Hashem is not allowing us to do the mitzvah of sukkah, is that proof that our mitzvah of sukkah is not pleasing in Hashem's eyes? And it's as if we've thrown something into Hashem's face, so to speak, that Hashem is not happy with the way that we're serving him. That's the question of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Toshema, the Tani we learnt in a braisa, Shofach li raboi kitoin alponov, it says explicitly in the brisa, it's as if the master is throwing the water back into the face, or the wine back into the face of the slave, as if he says, I'm not interested in you serving me. And therefore, rain on sukkah is certainly called a simon klola. It's a curse and something that we hope doesn't happen. Continues the Gemara, now that we've spoken about the bad sign of raining on sukkahs, we're going to speak about some other signs of natural disaster or natural phenomenon. Tonu Rabbonon, Bizman she'acham oloike, when the light of the sun gets struck, which what we would call a solar eclipse, simon ra l'kol ha'olam, then it's a bad sign for the whole world. Moshe l'moad avadoymer, it's analogous to the following scene, Lemelech Bosav Adom, if you had a king, she'osa suda la'avodov, he made a meal, a feast for his servants, v'niach panas lefneim, and he puts a lantern in front of them so they should have light. Ko'as aleim, if he gets annoyed at them, v'omer la'avdo, and he says to his servant, to his slave, tul panas mipneim, take away the light from before them, v'yishivam b'choshech, and let them sit in the dark. So too, when there's an eclipse, and Hashem has given us this beautiful lantern called the sun, and now there's an eclipse and the sun is not shining as brightly as it usually is, it's a sign that Hashem is teaching the world there's something I'm not happy about. Tani, we learnt in a braisa, Reb Meir Omer, calls mancha ma'oiris loikin, whenever the luminaries, and this must be, we'll soon see, this is referring to the moon, when they are loikin, when there is an eclipse, a lunar eclipse, simon ra l'soneim shel Yisrael, it's a bad sign, it means for Klal Yisrael, but the Gemara wants to speak in a term that's not directly against Klal Yisrael, so it says to the enemies of Klal Yisrael, what the Gemara means is really that it's a bad sign for Klal Yisrael. Why? Mipnei shem lumodim b'makisem, because they are the ones who are, they're accustomed to being punished, because Hashem is much more particular with Klal Yisrael when they don't behave the way they're supposed to. And somebody who is accustomed to getting punished, and now we see that the moon, which is the luminary which is associated to Klal Yisrael, is an eclipse, is getting dimmed, this could be a sign that there's about to be some punishments coming, and it should be a wake-up call for us. Moshe l'soifa shabola beis ha-seifa, it is analogous to a teacher who comes to a school, v'ratua b'yodei, he's got his stick in his hand, mi doyeg, which students are the ones who are going to be the most worried? Who doig? Is that student that the master is expecting the most of? And is that student where the master is going to educate and punish the most in order to make him become that prized student? He's the one that's going to be the most concerned when he sees the stick in his teacher's hand. So too, when the moon has an eclipse and is not shining that brightly, then though Klal Yisrael should start thinking, is there something wrong with what we're doing? Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Bisman Shacham Aloika, when the sun gets stricken, when it's a solar eclipse, Simon Ra Loivdei Kechovim, it's a bad sign for the Goyim. Levona Loika, when the moon has an eclipse, Simon Ra L'Sineim Shel Yisrael, it's not such a good sign for Klal Yisrael. And the reason is because Klal Yisrael, they count their months with the lunar months. We have the 12 months of the approximately 354 days in the lunar months, in the lunar year, and that is how Klal Yisrael count their year. However, the Goyim, lechama, they count their year with the solar year. They have 365 days in the year, which is the year of the solar cycle. Loike b'mizrach, when the sun is, or the sun or the moon for that matter, when the eclipse is happening in the mizrach in the east, simon ra l'yeshua mizrach, it's a bad sign for the people living in the east. B'mayrav, when the eclipse is happening in the west, the simon ra l'yeshua marav, it's a bad sign for the people in the west. Be'em tarakia, if it's in the middle of the sky that there's an eclipse, simon ra l'chol olam kulo, it's a bad sign for the whole world. Ponov doimim ledam, if the face of the colouring of the sun is red, similar to blood, cherev bo l'olam, it's a sign that the sword is going to come to the world, which means there's going to be bloodshed. L'sak, when the sun, the light gets dimmed and greyed like sackcloth, chitzei rav boim la'olam, it's a sign that arrows of hunger, which means famine, is going to come to the world. Leze ulazu ulazu, when also it's similar to blood and also to sack, then cherev, not only is the sword going to be in the world, v'chitzei rav, but also the chitzei rav boim la'olam. Loko b'knisasi, if the sun has an eclipse, biknisosei, at the end of the day, when it's about to go back down into below the horizon, then puronus shoyhe lovoi. Then the calamities and the tragedies that are about to happen are not going to happen just yet. So to speak, since the sun waited until the end of the day before having the eclipse, that means that the challenges that are going to come consequent to this are also going to be slow in coming. If, however, as the sun came out at the beginning of the day, it came out of the horizon. That's when there was an eclipse. Mamaheres lovoy. Then just as the eclipse happened immediately when the sun rose, so too the tragedies and the challenges that are going to befall the world are going to happen immediately. Some say it's the other way around, that if the eclipse is early in the morning, as soon as the sun rises, then the eclipse is, there's a whole day ahead of the sun. So that means that the tragedies that are going to befall the world are going to be slow in coming. But if right at the end of the day, when there's no time left, it's just at the end, just before sunset, that's when there's an eclipse, it's a sign that there's going to be no time wait and the challenges are going to start straight away. Continues the Gemara of Ein Lecha Kol Uma V'Uma Sheloika. Whenever any nation gets struck, it never happens She'ein Eloya Loika Ima, that the angel that is being appointed over that nation should not be struck as well. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, regarding Mitzrayim, uvechol elihei Mitzrayim es eshvotim ani Hashem, that I am going to give a punishment and judgment not only to the Egyptians, but to the lehei Mitzrayim, to the angels responsible and appointed over Mitzrayim. Or bezman sheYisrael oisim ratzon shel mokim, when Klal Yisrael are doing, following Hashem's ways, ein misyarin mikol elu, they don't need to worry about all these signs of the eclipses. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, koyomar Hashem. Hashem said, el derech hagoyim el tilmodu. Don't learn from the ways of the goyim. And if you don't learn from the ways of the goyim and you follow the Torah, then umi oisis hashamayim. You don't need to be afraid of the signs of what's happening to the luminaries, to the sun, to the moon. Because the goyim are afraid of them. Only the goyim are afraid. But the Klal Yisrael have nothing to be afraid of. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Bishvil arba dvarim, because of four things, four reasons. There's a solar eclipse. Al av beis din shameis ve'eino nisped kahalocha. That's if the head of a beis din passes away and one doesn't eulogize him appropriately. Ve'al nara murasa she'tzo'ako be'ir ve'ein meshielo. If a woman who had the status of being married was violated in a city, in a town, she cried for help and nobody helped her. Ve'al mishkav zohor, or when some men are engaged in inappropriate and immoral activities. Val shnei achim shenishbach domon ke'echod, or two brothers whose blood is spilt together. For those four reasons, these four things could cause the sun to be struck, and that's a bad sign for the world. U'bishvil arba dvarim ma'ira isloikin, and there's four things which, if the moon gets struck, if there's a lunar eclipse, it's for the following reasons. Al koisei plaster, for the people who are writing forged documents. Val meidei edus sheka, and those who give false testimony. Val megadle bei medako be'eretz Yisrael, and those who raise small livestock in Eretz Yisrael. Something discussed in Baba Kama Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, that it's very hard to protect these animals, that they shouldn't go into people's fields and steal from them. Val koitetei lonis toivis, and those people who cut down good trees, fruit trees, and Rashi says, because it looks as if you're just rejecting Hashem's kindness and Hashem's bracha by cutting down these trees. Continues the Gemara, Bishvil Dalad Dvarim, for four reasons, because of four things. Nechse Balabatim, the people, the properties of the Balabatim, of the homeowners, Nimsorim and Malchus, get given over to the authorities. Number one, Almashi Shtoris Pruim, if they retain paid up loan documents and they keep them and they don't rip them up or give them back to the borrower because they intend to claim a second time with the same documents. Val malve beribis, or if one lends money taking ribis. Val shahoyo sipig biyodom limchois, or if they had the ability to protest, and people with money, the balabatim, people with money often have more power to be able to make a protest and they will be listened to, and they didn't utilize that power that they had. And they did not protest. Or if they pledge to give tzedakah, charity, in public, and they don't give it, for that reason, the properties and the money of these balabatim gets taken away. Omarav, Bishul Arba Dvarim Nechse Balabatim Yetzim Litimoyin. For four reasons, the properties of the Balabatim, they go to oblivion, they get destroyed. Number one, Al Kuv Sheis Char Sochir, if they withhold the payment of the laborers, Val Oishke Schar Sochir, or if they are stealing the payment of their laborers, Val Chapurkin Oil Mal Tavareim, or if they cast off the yoke from their own responsibilities, Venoizdan Al Chavareim, and they put the yoke that they should be taking onto their friends, Val Gasus Aruach, and on arrogance. If they are arrogant because of their riches, because of their money, Hashem takes it away. V'gasus haruach k'neged kulam, and the arrogance is overrides all the rest. Aval ba'anovim, but the humble people, k'siv, for them the pasuk says, va'anovim yirshu oret, that the humble will inherit the land, v'isangu al roev sholim, and they will delight in abundance of peace. Hadron Aloch Hayoshon, B'siyati Deshmai, we finished Perek Hayoshon Tachas Amito. B'siyati Deshmai, we're going to do Chazora and review Perek Hayoshon Tachas Amito. And Emir Tashem, in the next year, we're going to start the next Perek Lulav Hagozel.